السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're recording Islamic Studies class. And at the time of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم growing up in Mecca, So at the time of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم growing up in Mecca, the people were worshipping the idols. And people were worshipping the idols because they believed that they are middle gods. They are small enough to hear our prayers and big enough to talk to Allah. Okay? So people thought that Allah is too big for us to talk to Him directly. So they say, okay, we bring these little middle gods which are small enough to talk to us and big enough to talk to Allah. Or small enough we talk to, small enough to hear our prayers, big enough to ask Allah on our behalf. And this didn't make any sense to him because they ended up treating statues the way Allah should have been treated. So if this is a statue and this statue name is Boo Boo, okay, and if I treat this statue the way Allah should be treated, then that's the sin here. That's the shirk sin. Okay? So, if I say this is small enough to hear my prayers and large enough to deliver my prayers to get the attention of Allah. And this is an insult to Allah because Allah doesn't need middle Asians. Allah can talk to us directly. So when he was growing up, he rejected that. And then he said, okay, I want to find the truth. And for him to find the truth, he thought about a good idea. He said, okay, if I go seclude myself in a cave and wander around, seclude myself in a cave and observe nature, this would be a good idea. Why? Why do you think it's a good idea? Because the nature is the product of who? Allah. The nature is the product of who? Allah. Okay? Then, the product will tell you a lot about the maker. Is that true or false? The product will tell you a lot about the maker, right? Like, if you have a good car, what does it tell you about the engineers who built the car?
It tells you that, like, they actually spent time on making it and they were, like, they made good designs and they're very good at
engineering. That's right. How about if it's a bad car? Huh?
The person who made it was careless and they weren't the best at engineering.
That's right. That's true. So the actual product would tell you a lot about the maker. If you put this in the envelope, I really appreciate it. Would tell you a lot about the maker. So he said the nature is the product of who? Allah. If I look at the product, I would be able to learn something about the maker, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was his first reason to go into the cave. And the second reason was, when you live in a place with a corrupt culture, would it corrupt you if you live in corrupt culture? Wouldn't it corrupt you? Wouldn't it corrupt your perceptions? Yes.
Yeah, because you think that it's normal since everyone is doing it. You'd be like, oh, that's a normal thing to do and it can't be bad, so then you do it too.
That's right. Go ahead.
Because, like, if you live in a corrupt place or society, then you would think that it would be normal and you have no other choice but to, like...
Exactly, to follow the same way. Yeah.
You wouldn't see, like... if you grew up in an area that did something in a certain way, you would think that it would be normal and you wouldn't be able to see like what other people in other parts of the world are doing. So you wouldn't be able to understand that, oh, this is actually not normal. You would just grow up thinking that it is.
Or getting used to it. So the Prophet Muhammad said, I want to free my mind from this corrupted culture. So where do I go? You seclude yourself, right? So he secluded himself in this cave, and this for the reason of the second reason is he wanted to free his mind from the influence of this corrupt culture. And he kept learning about Allah by observing nature. But, however, learning about Allah through observing nature, is it enough?
No.
No, it's not enough. It will tell you something, but it wouldn't tell you everything. So he kept praying and praying and praying, Ya Allah, show me the truth. Ya Allah, show me the truth. Ya Allah, show me the truth. And suddenly, in a dark night, someone stepped into the cave. Someone who looked clean. He's not a traveler, and he's a stranger. He's not from the area. You know, before when they used to travel, they would have a lot of dirt and dust covering them, and they would look miserable when they are traveling, and they would look dirty. But this guy is shiny clean. And shiny clean and like kind of
glowy,
yes, neat, yes. And he, you feel when you look at him, you feel you might freak out, something like that. So this guy went inside, and then what did he do? He hugged Prophet Muhammad so tightly that Prophet Muhammad, according to him, I thought this is death. I thought this is death. I'm dying. It was very painful. Ya Allah, it was very painful. And then he said, read. He said, read. Iqra. Read. Prophet Muhammad's reply was, I don't know how to read, or I can't read. Because he didn't go to any schooling. Intentionally, Allah wanted him not to go to schooling, not to learn how to read or write, so that people don't doubt the Quran. Okay? So people will realize that Muhammad is not able to write the Quran, and it came from Allah. That's one of the reasons. So, okay, so now the answer wasn't acceptable by this person. This person, by the way, was Angel Jibreel. Angel Jibreel in a human form. So now he hugged Prophet Muhammad. Very strong hug. Okay. Until he almost crushed his bone. Prophet Muhammad was almost dying. So then he let him go and he said, read. He said, I don't know how to read. Then he hugged him again. Again. And then told him, read. Now, Prophet Muhammad realized that if he gives the same answer, he's going to get that painful hug. So what he said, I don't, this time he said, read what? Third time he said, read what? So then he said, read in the name of your Lord, who created humans, from alaq, a leash. What did you say?
Clay.
No, clay at the beginning. But then it became from a leash. In the mother's womb, there will be a leash and forming, and this leash is going to grow up to be a baby.
Embryo? The cord that connects the baby to the mom?
Fetus, yeah. But before fetus, it is like suspended structure, suspended from the wall of this womb.
Umbilical cord suspended.
No, that's not the umbilical cord.
No, before the umbilical cord.
From a clot of blood.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called though.
Yeah. I would say it's a clot of blood. Something like that. Okay? And this will grow up to be a baby. Okay? And this baby gets born. Got it? So he said he created humans out of this clot of blood. Now, let's stop here and think together. Think. I think this class has a lot of deep thinkers. You know? There are shallow thinkers and there are deep thinkers. The shallow thinkers, they care only about trivial things, like little things, like little matters, like clothes.
The straightforward answer.
Huh?
The straightforward answer, like just one sentence or one word.
They don't even care to answer or turn to learn. To learn. They would just like care only about how they look and the dress and the fashion and all of these things. Okay? And then there are deep girls, deep thinkers that are talented. Okay? Those are the ones who read and understand and think deeply and dive into the story and get lessons to learn or get like benefits and things like that. Those are the deep thinkers. Now, is it a good idea for the deep thinkers to also care about clothes, looks? Yes. But the difference is that shallow girls that only care about looks and fashion and things like that, but deep girls care about both. Okay, so let's think deeply. First of all, why didn't Jibreel came onto the cave and said, Salamu alaykum Muhammad, alaykum salam. My name is Angel Jibreel. Allah sent me to you to make you a prophet. Okay, repeat after me. Read in the name, read in the name of your Lord, the one who created. Huh?
It would be like too straightforward, and it would not show the miracle of the Quran and how the Prophet ﷺ was able to read himself. And it would also be that it would kind of be a little hard to like believe in, and it would be kind of like, wait, what's going on? But then the way that the angel had the power to squeeze him, and the way that he was talking and how he brought up the Quran, that was much more believable, and that had the Prophet believe him and become a prophet.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Anybody wants to add something?
It wouldn't be as believable.
Okay. Allah wants to give us a message. What is that message? First of all, go ahead. Okay. First of all, the hog itself. Why this hog represents what? What lesson Allah wants? Oh, go ahead.
A little more like power, how much power the angel has and how much power Allah has granted the angel and how important the task is.
All these are good ideas, but I would like to add the ones I'm looking for, which is that he hugged him because to establish communication. I will explain to you what I mean by establishing communication.
Oh. Huh? Basically, he did that so because Muhammad was like scared, like, oh, this is not a human, it's an angel, or he didn't really know what it was. With a hug, it would just be like, oh, they know, like.
Okay.
Actually,
that's also correct, but I want to add my part. The part that I want to add, there's something called communication between heavens and earth. What is that communication? First, the earth started. Can I just
check? Oh, sure.
Right, we're righteousness.
Okay.
Right, day of judgment. Okay. Here, on this point.
Okay. And righteousness, day of judgment. Anything else?
Like here, say Prophet Muhammad on this part.
Okay, for those two points.
Yes.
Oh.
Between this and this. So this is the work of Prophet Muhammad.
Okay.
As you see on the diagram on the board, at the beginning, okay, when Adam came down, he was a prophet, he talked to Allah, he knew everything, and he taught his children righteousness. Okay? He established righteousness on earth. So people who say that we came from a cave person, a cave man, that's not right. We came from Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had civilization because Adam was educated by Allah about things. So there will be, once Prophet Adam dies, Okay? Then the communication between heavens and earth is lost. So there's no longer communication between heavens and earth because Prophet Adam died. Guess what happens? People decline until they become very corrupt. Then what happens? Allah sends another prophet to bring the earth, or bring humanity from this far, from very bottom to top. That would be the work of the prophet. And this would be the work of the shaitan. So, rising up is the work of the prophet. Declining down is the work of shaitan. You got it? So, shaitans and humans, like when I say shaitan, there are two kinds of shaitan. There are human shaitan and there is a jinn shaitan. Okay? Human, the evil ones among the jinn are the shaitans. So we'll call them jinn shaitans. And the human shaitans are people that might even exceed the influence of a shaitan. They really shaitans. They have the heart of shaitan. Go ahead.
What if you have a mental disorder, like being psychopathic with that?
No, that's not your fault then.
Well, she's saying that if people were, you know, born with naturally something wrong in their brain that they can't perform certain functions and they're considered a psychopath, then it's not their fault. They can't help it.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Allah will judge you based on your conditions. Allah does take every person as a special case by him or herself and judge you relative judgment to whatever conditions you're subject to, you know. There is no, Allah's not like a blind judge who can't tell the difference between this case and that case. Okay, so now, so what happens? So the work of the prophet is to bring the earth down from the manners of the earth to the manners of the heaven. Okay, so on the very bottom, manners of earth. I'm going to say some of the manners of earth. Selfishness and greed. What else? The manners of the earth. Selfishness and greed. Ego.
Wanting power.
Mean.
Jealousy. The love of this earth.
The love of this earth and pleasure. So these are all earthly manners. And these earthly manners, okay, they lead people to be corrupt. Okay? Now, what are the heavenly manners then?
Kindness.
Generosity.
Wanting of heaven. Fear of Jahannam.
MashaAllah. Forgiveness. And all of the forgiveness, kindness, and fear of Jahannam, and all of these together, these are the manners of heaven. The job of the prophet is to bring earth from the manners of earth up into the manners of heaven. Because Allah wants us, listen to this, Allah wants us to do our earthly business using heavenly values. Okay? That's what Allah wants. So, then after the prophet is dead, it declines again. So Allah sends another prophet to bring it up. Then the prophet dies. Shaitan bring it down. And then Allah sends another prophet. Brings up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Like that. Okay? Until the very end, which is the end of prophets, which is Prophet Muhammad. After Prophet Muhammad is going to be declined until the Day of Judgment. There will be no more communication between heavens and earth. So, the communication between heavens and earth is what? Is a prophet that comes and do what? Change the people from the manners of the earth, from the earthly manners to the heavenly manners. You got that part? Got it? Okay. So that communication is a prophet. Now, this huck represents the beginning of this communication. This huck.
Thank you, Zane.
Okay. So, communication between heavens and earth. So this hug is a hug between an earthly being. Who's the earthly being there? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the heavenly being, which is Jibreel. So that is the beginning of the communication. So the hug represents beginning of the communication between Prophet Muhammad, between heavens and earth. That's the meaning of the hug. You get that? Whatever you said is true, but that was the specific meaning of the hug, which is what? Beginning of communication between heavens and earth. Because this communication is the one that brings heaven down. It's bringing earth up to heaven. Heaven doesn't go down, and earth doesn't go up, but people change. People are the ones who change. Corrupted people versus righteous people. Corruption, righteousness. Circle, cycles like that. So, you got it? So, the hug is a communication between what being? Heavenly being and earthly being. Good. So, that's the meaning of the hug. How about why is it so painful? Why isn't it so painful? Why not just nice hug communication like hug, you know, let's start communicating, hug.
Basically, if you were just to give Prophet Muhammad a hug, Prophet Muhammad would feel safe and like that he could like do any, like talk about any angel. But the angel wanted to make it clear that he wasn't here for like
a casual talk.
Yeah. A casual thought.
Yeah. He was here to like bring a message.
Yes. Let me add my part. My part is, what she said is true, but my part is about that the hug represents the law of nature. No pain, no gain. So it's like that was the beginning of the pain. The Prophet Muhammad had so much pain after that. So much pain, unbelievable amount of pain after he received the message. Are you following? Are you? Did you think of your phone or something?
No.
Because I felt that you're not participating and not looking. Okay. Can I get you here? Sit here. By being in this dark corner, can you get me to sit here? Yes. Take your envelope with you and your stuff. Okay. All right, so we agree now that the painful, what the hug was painful because of the law of nature that says no pain, no gain.
So was it like Angel Jibreel wanted Prophet Muhammad to know what was ahead of him, like,
yes,
this is what you're going to get for, you know, saving humanity.
That's exactly right. This is what you expect. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a piece of cake. It's going to be a terrible, horrifying experience. A terrible, horrifying experience. Okay? So get ready for it. And for us to tell us that, hey, it's painful. It is. To bring the earth, to bring people up from the earthly manners, top to the heavenly manners. Is that an easy job? No. There's a lot of fighting. There is a lot of blood. There is a lot of, you know, struggle. A lot of fighting between the good guys and bad guys. A lot of struggle by the good guys. A lot of work. Very tough. Very hard. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this pain continuously, getting this pain. And what, for example, he was trapped into the valley of Abu Talib for 3 years without food. Some people will sneak food to them in the valley, and people are so hungry they get some a little bit and they live on this little bit for a week or something like that. Anyway, the bottom line is that was the pain, the beginning of the pain. Okay, one more thing. Let me ask you, why this painful hug happened in a cave? Why didn't it happen in a fancy place? like fancy conference room somewhere. Go ahead, you're next. Go ahead.
To prove that like your life isn't going to be fancy either, it's not going to be really nice. You're going to have to go through some struggles.
That's right. Go ahead.
Kind of what Zala said, that it's going to be harder and it's not going to be all like just like a simple talk. It's going to be rising up in front of humanity and like conveying the message to everyone else.
That's right. That's right. Let me add my version. Is that Allah doesn't care about things being fancy. Allah doesn't care about it. Allah chose a place which is the, what should I say about this place? It's the most cheap place on earth. Cave is the cheapest place on earth, right?
Yeah.
So Allah wanted no decoration at all. Allah saying, hey, this is what it is, cave. No decoration at all, nothing. The cave, bare cave, not rocks, dirt, that's it. Okay, so Allah did not want to make it a fancy place. Not even at the Kaaba. In a cave, you can't have less than a cave. If when you do the homework, you will find me, when you go online to do the homework, you'll find a picture of the cave of Hira. You will see a picture of it there. So you can, when you go to Hajj, you can also visit Cave of Hira. Okay? So they let you get up there and visit. So, all right. Then, Allah told him, read. If he doesn't know how to read, why did the angel tell him to read? Okay, read means iqra. Recite means utlu. So, go ahead.
Maybe because he wanted to show the power, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, and how he can turn an illiterate man into someone who can.
Mm-hmm.
People around Mecca knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know how to read, and then they'd be like, oh, he was able to read the Quran, and they'd consider a miracle, and then they'd be like, oh, then we should look into this, and then they'd read the Quran, and then they'd get the message about that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Like Allah chose him, like he was a special one.
Okay. Let me add my thought. Allah told him read. This, one of the possible meanings is that read life using the names of Allah. Read life using what? Names of Allah. Okay, let me say, when you put the glasses of Iqra, read life in the name of Allah, then you see a life in a manner that's different if you're not wearing the glasses of Iqra. Okay, so for example, you're not wearing the glasses of Iqra. And then, where did we come from? Monkeys. We evolved from monkeys. We were not created. We just became monkeys and we grew up to be humans. And then we had simple creation that developed into more sophisticated. And sophistication started to add up. Okay, until we turned into humans. There's one danger. Quick hint about that. There's one danger for this. It's because we can say that like black people are less developed than the white people. So the white people were developed more sophisticated than the black people. So it's okay to kill. Like you're killing a less developed. Darwin, by making this dangerous, what do you do with animals? Isn't it okay to kill animals? Yes, I mean, yeah, it's not a big deal to kill animals. However, is it okay to kill a human? No, because a human is sophisticated. It's okay. So they say, okay, the level, because animals are not sophisticated, then we can kill them. They say also black people are not much developed from monkeys. Okay, that's why when they make us fun of a black person, they draw the person jumping trees. The black person jumping tree. So this is all came because of this concept of evolution. This concept of evolution. It's like we evolved it from monkeys. Okay, so back to the subject. When you read with the glasses in the name of Allah, you read different perception. And life is a matter of perception. Remember that. This is an important thing to remember. Life is a matter of perception. You perceive something as good, somebody else perceives it as
bad.
You see, life is a matter of perception. Okay? There was this thing about the color of a dress.
Yeah,
I remember that they wanted to see how people would perceive the covers. So that's a small version of what I'm trying to tell you, which is that life is a matter of perception. If you're wearing the glasses of Iqra, you perceive life and read life different than this. So Iqra means read life using the names of Allah. I'll give you another example. And also Allah said the name of Allah, the one who created, created humans out of clot of blood. So the first name Allah gave to the Prophet to understand life was the Creator. You see? So that was the first. Allah said, the first name you need to read life, you need to read life through, is going to be, I am the Creator. Not developed from monkeys or anything like that. You got this part? Okay. So now, let me give you another example. There are many prophets who were killed by bad guys. So, like Prophet Yahya was killed by a bad guy. I'm not sure about Zakaria, but Yahya, yes. Yahya was killed by a bad guy. Okay, so now, if you look at the situation, you say, who is the winner? The bad guy. Who is the loser? Prophet Yahya. And why would you say that? Because who stayed alive? The bad guy. And who was killed? Prophet Yahya, the good guy. So, if you're not wearing the glasses of Iqra, then you say, okay, the loser is Prophet Yahya, the winner of the bad guy. So what would change if you wear the glasses of Iqra and you read this using the names of Allah? Exactly. So how would it change?
In the afterlife, Prophet Yahya al-Islam won, and the bad guy will face the tournament on top.
Exactly. Your glasses are going to tell you there is a second round. We are in round number what?
One.
And there's a second round, which is round number?
Two.
And there will be a second round. And in this second round, the true winner is the one who wins round one or two? Two. So, who's going to be winning in the round number two? Prophet Yahya. And who is going to be a loser in round number two?
The bad guy.
The bad guy. And losing Prophet Yahya as a winner forever, the bad guy is a loser forever. Okay? A third example of how perception changes when you read life through the glasses of Iqra, read in the name of your Lord. There was a lady, she had 5 kids. And then she was living with her husband, they have 5 kids. And the only working member in the family was the husband. The children didn't work and the wife didn't work. Then the husband died. So people came to her and started, you know, trying to, you know, like help her and say, oh, it's okay, you know, it's okay, you lost your husband, be patient, Allah would help you. So don't be sad. You ready? Huh? Don't be sad, blah, 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 all these nice words. So she told them, hey guys, why should I be sad and worried? The one who died is the consumer. The supplier is still alive. Which means what? Supplier is everlasting. The one who died is the consumer. Is the provider. And he's everlasting. But the one who died, is he a provider or a consumer?
Consumer.
So she said, Allah is the provider ever living. And the one who died is the consumer. How could she reach to this reach to this understanding using the glasses of Iqra. Using the glasses of Iqra. People struggled with this idea. I had people when I was teaching at Fresno State University. There was a person who was denying the presence of God. He said, because if you come to Mexico, where I'm from, you see bad guys running around shooting and raping and blah, blah, weak people, and nothing is happening to them. So he said there are two possibilities. The first possibility is that God know about that, God knows about that, and he will let it happen. And this is really a bad God, because he knew about this happening and he did not stop it. So he's a bad God, doesn't deserve to be worshipped. And the other possibility is that he's not aware of what is happening. He doesn't know what is happening. And this is also make him a bad God that doesn't deserve to be worshipped. So either way, if he knows or he doesn't know, he's a bad God that doesn't deserve to be worshipped. Or, he said, or he doesn't exist at all. There's no God to start with. So how do you reply to this?
That if there were no crimes in the world, then there would be, then how would,
How what?
If there were no crime in the world, there'd be no good people to stop them. If there was no good people, there'd be crime. And the crime is the sign that God exists, because God has created someone to cause crime.
You're getting there. You're getting there. You know, you're actually right there. Because we have free will. If Allah would stop bad guys from doing bad things, then where is the free will?
Exactly. We're not getting tested.
We're not getting tested. Exactly.
And if God,
if there were no criminals, there weren't any people
that
were evil, they wouldn't...
Be a test.
It would be way too easy to just go into Jannah.
Yeah.
There was no test in that.
There would be no Jannah, because the angels don't go to Jannah. Allah could have created angels. He did. You're next.
So basically, it's like if there were no bad guys, and even if people had free will, but no one decided to go around killing, it would still not be that hard of a test. It would be like, oh, this is all easy. I'm going to ace it. And then the true believers would not be recognized over the people who didn't actually believe in Allah.
Exactly. You're getting it right, too.
For free will, if we weren't allowed to have free will, we probably wouldn't be here in this classroom.
Yeah, exactly. Allah could have created angels, and he did. Mm-hmm. So he created a different creation.
Yeah, okay. Like all the bad we've done creates a chain of like what happens in our life.
Exactly. And go ahead.
Like everything that Allah has done or created, he did it for a reason.
For a reason, that's right. Why did Allah create the shaitan and the evil temptations? Why did Allah create his own enemies? To test us. Exactly. And there's another answer as well. To test us is a good answer. But my part of the answer, I would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us the difference. How do you recognize the brightness of the day? Will you experience what? The darkness of the night. Do you know that? Knowing things by contrast?
Mm-hmm.
How do you recognize the sweet? By tasting the sour. If everything you taste is sweet, 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 and nothing but sweet, and I give you a piece of a chocolate, what would you say?
Oh, this is normal.
This is normal, exactly. If the weather is always nice, 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 and somebody says, today is a nice weather, you'd say it is normal, right? So, how do we recognize Allah? By knowing the opposite, which is shaitan, right? So, you to appreciate the kindness of Allah, you have to suffer from the meanness of shaitan. To recognize the generosity of Allah, you have to suffer from the stinginess of the shaitan. So, to see by opposite, to see by opposite. Okay? So, that's the reason Allah created shaitan. And there was a priest giving a talk about 9/11. We'll finish. Was giving a talk about 9/11. And he said, and I was very surprised that he said that. He's not a priest, he's like a religious person, higher rank in the church. He said, I don't understand why God allows these things to happen. I really was surprised.
What kind of priest is that who doesn't?
Well, that's the thing about Christianity. It's kind of, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's just the truth. It's kind of messed up because even their own holy book, they change it over time to rules they find accordingly. So even the priests themselves, if they're really a good priest, then they're good because they have high moral values and they believe that they truly are serving the name of God. Other priests, they do what they think is right, and people follow them based off of
like,
that.
Even in their book, like the Bible, it says like not to eat pork. Like I've seen it. Like it says not to eat pork. It says to cover your body pretty well. But like people still don't follow that for any weird reason. Even if it's clearly stated in that book, it's because
the Bible says in one part love your enemy, and in another part kill your enemy. The same Bible. Okay. So the ones who get, there is no fixed rules for us. You know, things change in the Bible. So, by the way, somebody tells me, how could God burn people in fire? The answer is simple. Doesn't he do this now? Do you hear people burning? Do you hear about people burning in fire? Yeah. I mean, how many times the fire starts and babies and kids and little children and adults get burned and by this fire? How many times? A lot. So, do you see it happening in this life? Yes. Then why are you surprised it's going to happen in the next life? If Allah is making it happen in this life, then what's so big deal about it happening in the Day of Judgment?
In the Day of Judgment, it's going to be 70 times worse.
Yes.
And you're going to be tormented in front of everyone, and it's not like it was to test you, it's a punishment.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Go ahead.
What she was saying is like, it's not like innocent people are getting put into fire. It's more of the people who knew they were doing wrong, but they still decided to
continue.
Yeah.
But the point here, God is allowing a people to, in this life, to burn in fire. So that we can understand what's going to happen in the Day of Judgment. Okay? By comparison. All right. So, leave your envelope with me before you leave. I'll collect your envelopes.